Well, it's true. It's very true. You know, the first time I heard that, I didn't know she was Nigerian. So when I heard she was Nigerian, I was very, very happy, you know. I thought she was Nigerian. I said, yes, because it was just Stephanie I used to hear. So I didn't hear the surname. But I'm Nigerian. She's Nigerian. And, you know, and I must confess my sins publicly. My wife told me, said, I want to invite her for women's meeting. I said, women's meeting. Leave that one, eh? Then I went behind the back. I said, I'm inviting her for one. She said, I won't say what I said. I said, oh, you're inviting her for Warbeck. I said, it's Warbeck now. It's Warbeck. So she was telling me, I'm telling you. So I told her, he said, I should be very good for your women. He said, hey, should I invite her? I said, no. There's another meeting I'm thinking about. So except we negotiate and find a place there. And it, no. I mean, okay, let me not say this. No, it doesn't have anything to do with, you know, I go to places in Africa. Well, let me leave that until, you know, let the pastors from different parts of Africa come. Then I will tell her what they say. So I won't say it behind their back because, so let me say what they are saying here. But she's obviously a rising voice on the even in Africa. All right. She may not know, but she's a sought out voice on the continent. And many people have called me to say, look, she has to come to our country too. And I said, I will try. But I'll first secure my own before the children must first of all be here. Let's rise to our feet and welcome her.
Hallelujah. I just love your pastors. But can we just give Jesus praise in the house? Amen. Amen. God is so faithful. You know, I want to encourage those who are here. You know, make sure that you are inviting your friends. If they're not local, share the link with them because this convention is a rich, rich blessing. Even while I was in my hotel, I was watching what was taking place and just seeing how the Spirit of God is one in what the messages that He has brought forth. And so I was so excited to be here, especially because of the things the Lord began to show me concerning what would take place here. So I encourage you, you know, when you find good food, you don't keep it to yourself, right? You want to let other people know where they can get it. So share this with people in your family, in your lives. But let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We worship you, O God. We thank you for this time to gather in your name. There are many gatherings taking place all across the world, but it's not in your name. But here we are, gathered together, seeking your face. And so, Lord, we know that you are in the midst of this place. And we know that you would reveal yourself in a mighty way. We know, O Heavenly Father, that you would take the word and Holy Spirit, that you would break every callousness of hearts. And that you would allow the word to penetrate deep into the depths of their spirit, O God. And that wherever darkness has been reigning, that your word will be a light, O Lord, to bring your children out of darkness. And so we thank you, Lord, because we cannot do this without your spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus through all that we do. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. You know, yesterday was so beautiful. I mean, we had the spoken word. Pastor Poju had a mighty word. And even in what I was teaching yesterday, for those that were here, I talked about just laying a foundation before I journey into what the Lord has placed on my heart as regards to faith. And we're going to continue in that today. Because even as we talk about, you know, the eagle, there's something I love so much. I love animals. I love studying animals because there's something, there's a wisdom even in creation that gives us even more insight to the ways of God and the things of God and how God moves. It's such a beautiful thing. And so when I study the eagle, you know, we talk about how eagles know how to soar, right? They know how to leverage the wind so the wind can pick them up. But here is the thing about an eagle, its ability to soar would be effortless if it doesn't have perfect sight. Eagles have excellent vision. It's actually said that an eagle can see 4 to 6 times better than human beings. And so eagles have both the ability to soar and to see. If they could only soar and not see, it would be unfruitful. Because when they soar, they need to see their prey. They need to see what their next meal would be. The ability to soar and see is required for their survival. Now, in the same way with us, with humanity, if you are praying to soar, but you cannot see, it would be unfruitful. Sight is extremely important to the believer's life. And so I want to talk to you from this message of a blind generation. You see, because if you cannot see on the level you are currently on, then when you attain heights, you still will not see on that level. And so the question is, what do you currently see where you are? In the place you are in right now, in the thing that you hate, what do you see? Do you see as everyone else sees in the natural, or do you see as God sees? There are times that God will position you in a job, in an environment, amongst people, and if you only see it in the natural, then all you do is complain. But if you see it as God sees, then you begin to recognize, even though I hate this job, God is using it to work on my patience. God is using it to shape my character. God is using it to refine and define what He has placed within me. Even though I don't like this environment, but I see what God is doing with it. What do you see where you are right now? Pastor Poju was just speaking about the youths in Nigeria. Even when you speak of this country, what do you see? Because if you see as everyone else sees in the natural and all you see is corruption, then you're lacking spiritual sight. I remember when the Lord began to talk to me about this nation and showed me how this nation is the heartbeat of Africa. That when this nation rises up, there would be such a freedom in the spirit, not only over Africa as a continent, but over black people in general. That there is a reason why this nation is under so much demonic oppression. Because you're talking about a nation that has the most populous black people in the world. A nation that is majority youth. In Nigeria, you have 60%, over 60% of the people are under 25. But then we focus our attention on corruption in government. People that are not even up to 4% of the nation. But if you see as the world sees, if you see as everyone sees in the natural, all you will do is complain. If you see it from a spiritual perspective, you start to ask the Lord, how do I join your strategy for what you want to do with this country? How do I invest in the youth? It starts with me. What can I do with the youth in my community? With what I have, Lord, how can I be part of what you see? You see, what you see is so critical. When the Lord encountered a man named Jeremiah, He tells him the mystery of his birth. He tells him who He called and ordained him to be even before he was born. And after He tells Jeremiah this beautiful vision of his life and what God has always known about him, the next thing God says to Jeremiah, He says, Jeremiah, what do you see? And when Jeremiah responded, not from a natural perspective, but a spiritual perspective, the Lord said to him, you have seen well. And then he asked him again, what do you see? If the Lord asks you, what do you see? I've given you prophecy. I've given you words about your life. But what do you currently see? Do you see as I see? Or are you seeing it from a natural perspective? You see, faith can take you to new heights. But sight allows you to leverage the reason God placed you there. You see, I remember there was a time, this is before I got into ministry, this was years ago. And there was a project that the Lord told me to do. And I felt so inadequate to do this project because at this time, you know, I was just coming out of university and it required filming and all kinds of technical skills that I did not have. And I was learning and the Lord says, use what you have and get it done. So I got a camera. Imagine doing a project where you have to interview someone and you are also your cameraman and you are also your editor. That was me. I would set up the camera, make sure I can see what's going on, and then sit down with the person. It was not something that you would regard as professional. But then this was what the Lord showed me. In this time, do this. And because the Lord said I should do it, what I saw was I will have favor. I was not looking at what I lacked to cause me to be delayed. I said, God, because you gave me a word, then what I would have is favor. So there was a day, a friend of mine, he was working on a film, randomly calls me and says, hey, you should stop by and just see what we have going on. I was like, okay. So I head over there with some friends. When I get there, there was a person of huge influence within, you know, the Hollywood industry who was present at the location. And while she was there, the Lord says to me, she would be a part of it. I thought it was a joke. I said, God, now I have faith, but are you sure? And the Holy Spirit didn't respond. So I knew that, okay, Lord. And so I walked over to her. And I shared with her this vision God placed in my heart. And I said, you know what? And I believe you should be a part of it. I didn't say, hey, God said you would be a part of it. Because that could be, you know, some people could receive that as manipulation. Because if God said it, I don't need to tell you God said it. Because if God said it, then the power and the favor would be so evident in their response. So I just shared the vision of what was on my heart, what the Lord had placed on my heart. And I said, and I think you would be great for it. And this is how God works. She looks at me and mentioned that when I was walking up to the building, they were in their car driving to get parking. And there was something about me that stood out to her. And she was just wondering, who is that young lady? And then when she's hearing the vision, she's like, you know what? Here's my personal number. And let's figure out a time that we can set it up. She ends up being the one who calls me to say that, hey, I have an event on this day and we can carve out a private space to do the interview. And I'm like, you know what? Great. You know, she's like, you need to call anyone. I said, no, I'm everybody. And she was so willing. Even when I set up my own camera, she just looked at me and was like, you know what? If there's anything I can do to support what you're doing, I love the vision behind it. I will be in support. You see, just like yesterday when Pastor Poji was talking about time and chance. In that moment, because if you don't have sight, you would be more caught up about taking a photo than recognizing what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to do. You see, even just yesterday, this young lady doesn't know this yet, but I'm going to tell her business a little bit. I met this lady right after service. The whole time she stood out to me and I was just watching her. She's on the photography team and she was taking pictures and everything. And after the service, she says to me, you know what, that she had a personal prayer that one day she will take photos of me and my family. And while she's talking, the Holy Spirit says to me, pay attention to her. And I'm listening, and she shares by herself her Instagram handle. And I kept note of it. And I said, okay, let's look here. You have to check out if the work is good, right? So this morning, the Holy Spirit reminded me, said, hey, check out her page. And I went to her page. I loved her work. And I knew that whether it's this trip or another trip, I will schedule that appointment with her. You see, this is when you have sight in a moment. But if we are so caught up about the environment we're in, we're not sensitive to what is the Holy Spirit. Why in the first place did the Holy Spirit place me in this environment? What is it that the Lord will have me do? Now, I am not telling you to just, say whatever is in your heart. I'm saying move as you are led by the Spirit. But that means you have to be first sensitive to the Spirit. You have to see as God sees and not just from an earthly perspective. You see, sight is so important that even the people of the world know. To some it may be surprising to you, but in the U.S., there are a lot of people at the top of their industries, even people within government that would consult warlocks and witches and sorcerers, and some of these people would even conjure spirits to give them direction to sustain what the height they have achieved. They would seek them out to gain information on the way forward. Even though that is still a level of blindness, but it shows you that even the systems in the world, they have come to know that what I know by my own self cannot sustain me in where I am. That is why even from a biblical perspective, you see how Pharaoh in the time of Moses and Pharaoh in the time of Joseph, that they all had magicians and sorcerers. These are the kings, but yet their dependency were on men who had some level of understanding of the things of the Spirit. Even though that level is still blindness, but it shows you how they are so dependent on having some form of spiritual sight. And so what do you see? What do you see about your life? What do you see about where God has placed you? I want to read a scripture in 2 Corinthians verse 4 from 3 to 4. And this would be the Amplified Version. And it says, but even if our gospel is in some sense hidden behind the veil, it is hidden only to those who are perishing. Among them, the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving to prevent them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, when the Bible starts by even talking about how, the god of this world being Satan, just a disclaimer, Satan is in no way in competition with our Lord. They are not competing for who would rule over this world. But world in this context has to do with a system of self-dependency, a civilization that the enemy brought into existence through the life of Cain. If you ever study the life of Cain after he killed his brother, and when the Bible talks about he left the presence of God and began to build a civilization, that civilization modeled after the enemy. It was a civilization to bring people in a place of self-sufficiency and self-dependency, a life outside of dependency on God. So when the Bible talks about Satan being the god of this world, he is a god over those. He rules over those whose god is self. That everything you do and everything that drives your ambition comes back to selfish needs. And so if you are driven by self, not the Spirit, Satan has rulership over you. He knows how to manipulate such people. And so then it goes into how he has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. And this word unbelieving is so interesting. Because you see, when we read this scripture, we would think like, I don't connect to that. I believe in Jesus. Right? This scripture has to do with people who are lost. People who are far from God. People who are atheists. People who are worshiping other things. But this word unbelieving really has to do with those who do not trust in God. Now there are many people who acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. But according to how they live, they have not made him Lord in their lives. There are many people who come to Jesus not because of who he is, but there were testimonies you heard about what you can get from him. And the reason you're faithful is not to know him, but to receive from him. And that is why we are seeing a generation of not only Africans. It shocks me that even in America, you have black Americans who are going, saying they're leaving Christianity to worship Ifa. I said, I grew up in Nigeria. And y'all are talking about Ifa in America. And then you see Nigerians. Young Nigerians saying that they need to go back and worship the gods of their forefathers. But they started off in church. What changed? What changed was you were never in it for the person. Christianity is not about a religion. It's about a person. It's about the person of Jesus Christ. And if you are not in it for him, then when you don't get what you want, now you're looking for another solution elsewhere. So there are many who will show up in church. But if you look at their prayer life, if you look at the reason, the totality of why they fast. Now God loves for you to bring all your requests to him. But if the only reason you come into the presence of God is for your personal request, then you have not yet journeyed to know him. He is a means to what you desire. And when things don't happen in the timeline you expected, you stop praying. You stop worshiping. You like, this church thing, I beg. You start taking a pause. As I was praying concerning this meeting, the Lord showed me there are people even present here. And you said that, you know what, this is going to be the last stop for me. If God does not do this thing for me, I'm done with this whole church thing. This is what the Bible refers to as unbelieving. Because when you trust in God, you see, there is the mystery behind why the Apostle Paul would say, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's because there is something you touch in God where you realize that, yes, the pleasures of life, they're nice. Everybody likes good things. Okay, everybody. But even if I don't touch it in this realm, what I have seen in God is beyond the pleasures of this world. And so why I'm on this earth, yet to live is for Christ and to die is gain. Satan, you cannot threaten death to a dead man. You cannot threaten me with your rubbish when I'm already dead to Christ. But then, if the only reason that you are faithful in the things of God is for what you can gain, then you fall under the category of unbelieving. If you only come to God for his hand and not his person, then you fall under the category of unbelieving. And the unbelieving are the ones who the enemy knows how to leverage the idols in their heart to keep them in the place of blindness. Because even when the Bible says, you know, to prevent them from seeing, it's not that Satan just randomly can make people blind. No, there is something in your heart that is causing the blindness in the first place. And he knows how to enforce it. There is some selfish. That's what I love when Pastor Irene started speaking about praying against selfish ambition. Because when your life is driven by selfish ambition, you're moving in the direction of blindness. Because that is what is propelling you. That is what is motivating your prayers. That is what is motivating the things you do. I remember when the Lord was showing me how faith works in people. And how when a person is praying from a place of faith, there is a light that radiates out of them in the spirit. But when they're praying from a place of carnality, when they're praying from a place of self, when they're praying from a place of selfish ambition, there's no light. It's just empty words. And I saw people. I remember he showed me this lady. And the way this lady prayed, I was like, God, surely she has faith. I mean, she quoted almost every scripture in the Bible. I said, wow, that is a woman of prayer. Every line of prayer, there's a Bible verse for it. I said, wow, this is the kind of people I need to, you know, pray with. And the Lord says, let me show you her faith. And there was nothing, no light. He says, this is empty. This is not coming from a spiritual place. This is coming from a carnal place. You see, you never want to fall victim to knowing how to say all the right things, but your heart is far from God. It's just about what you can get from Him. And the Lord is the one who watches the heart. Men look at the outer, but God studies your heart posture. God wants to give you. God does not want to withhold things from you, but He doesn't want the things to have you. So when something becomes an idol in your life, you have removed the hand of God from it. Because if God validates that idol, then that means God Himself is saying He is below the thing that you desire. If God gives you what you have made an idol in your heart, He bowed to it. So when something becomes an idol, God removes His hand from it. Even when it is something He desires to give you. If marriage becomes an idol, God removes His hand from it. But instead, what He works on is to break you. To bring you back to the person whose one desire is Him. So that when He puts His hand on your marriage, it will not overtake you. But if something is an idol, once you get it, you're gone. It was the reason you were seeking so much. It was the reason you were praying so much. And then once the Lord gives it to you, you forget your first love. These are the things that the enemy uses as a leverage to keep you in blindness. Look at what John 3:19 says. It says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. When we think of evil, we always think of it in the extreme. Witchcraft. You know, somebody killing somebody. But anything outside of the will of God for your life is evil. Because the standard of good has to do with God's will and purposes being fulfilled. And anything outside of that is categorized as evil. And so when you make other things gods in your life, you don't do it consciously. You don't do it willingly. Nobody says this desire is my God, but in the spirit realm, that's what it looks like. Are idols driving you? Or do you really want to touch Jesus? Because in His presence, there is nothing He would withhold from you, but in His time. You see, there's a lot that the Lord was showing me that we just have to repent of to get to the place where we can see again. Because these things will keep us blind. In Luke 4, verse 17 to 21, after Jesus was tempted by the enemy in the wilderness, Jesus had a moment where he returned to his hometown and he goes to the synagogue. And I love this so much because the scripture puts it like this. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free. And the time of the Lord's favor has come." He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendants, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. "The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day." Why I'm reading this scripture is even in the things that Jesus spoke about, we know that God is able to do all kinds of miracles and healings. But in this moment, he was talking about their spiritual state and spiritual condition. That there are many who believe that they are, you don't see chains on them in the natural, but yet they're captives, they are bound. They're those that they're using their eyesight in the natural, but yet they are blind in the spirit realm. They're those that are moving about freely, but yet they're oppressed. They're those who may be wealthy, but yet in the spirit realm, they don't look like that. Jesus was speaking to their spiritual condition, and in him is the solution. But you have to have a true desire, not just for his hand, but for him, the person. That is what Christianity is all about. Fellowship with Jesus. Communion with Jesus. Yes, you bring your request to him, but that cannot be the totality of your Christian experience. You have to spend time just to know him. What is on his heart? What are the burdens on his heart that he should place on yours? Where is the place that he's sending you that you would willingly go even though it makes you uncomfortable? When you have a desire for him beyond yourself, this is where sight begins to operate. But you see, you have to understand why Satan wants to keep people blind. Because when you understand the agenda of the enemy, there are things that you don't tolerate in your life. That when you start seeing a selfish ambition or a selfish motive creeping up in your life, you go to the presence of God. God, this thing in my heart, it will take me away from your presence. Kill it. Don't give it to me. This is when you counter what your flesh is saying. Your flesh desires something. The Bible says that the desires of the flesh are against the desires of the spirit. When a desire of the flesh comes up, you use your own words to kill it. You ask the Holy Spirit, "Don't give me this thing because I know that the origin is not of God." When your desire is of God, and that true hunger and that true desire, you see, something I've learned in God is that hunger, it is not an impartation. You cannot impart hunger on somebody. You cannot tell people, "Lift up your hands and receive a hunger for the things of God." In the natural, how do you get hungry? You've been starved of something, of food, for a period of time. In the natural, the reason why we get hungry when we're fasting is because we've gone without food. And so when you want to get hungry for the things of God, you begin to starve the desires of your flesh. And what propels you to do that? Because sin is very tricky. Sin is like candy. No matter how much we know that sweets are not good for us, no matter how much we know that donut, I should take one, not five. The reason we do it is that you don't see the immediate effects. Nobody eats five donuts and tomorrow they become diabetic. You don't see the immediate impact of what it does in your body. But over time, you start to see how your choices in one place began to cause your health to derail. The same thing with sin. God is so merciful. People would wonder, how is it that false prophets and false this and false that get away with so much? Because of God's mercy. It takes time for you to drink the cup of your own judgment. You don't see the immediate impact of it. But over time, when that cup is full, God says, now you will drink of this cup. But when you understand how this is working against you, there is a knowledge you acquire about something that gives you a determination to fight against it. And so why is it that Satan wants to keep you blind? Number one, and you can write this down, to not discern Kairos moments. There are significant moments in time where the will of God encounters your day-to-day life. There are opportune moments. Pastor Kojo spoke about this yesterday, about time and chance. Because you see, one thing I've learned about God is that everything that God wants to do through your life, He does it through times and seasons. That's why when God wants to restore you, the Bible says He would restore the times. When God wants to restore you, He doesn't need to add years to your life. He needs to restore the times because of what you missed in opportune moments. And He allows another cycle to come, another season to come that will be pregnant with the possibilities of what He has for you. But there are times and seasons, even Satan, concerning Jesus, after he tempted Jesus in the wilderness and Jesus overcame him, when you read your Bible, it tells us that he left to return at an opportune time. Not just any time, an opportune time. Satan wants to keep you blind so you cannot discern the times. You can't discern the seasons. You are so focused on your rat race of what you want to achieve that you lose sensitivity to the ways of God. You see, the Bible talks about it is not up to man to direct his steps. So what then directs the steps of a man? His sensitivity and dependency on the Holy Ghost. If you only come to God when you need something, you are not sensitive when He wants to lead you concerning things outside your need. You have to create a relationship with God. Think about Moses when he was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. What were they discussing for that long? And 40 days and 40 nights in the sight of man could feel like 40 years in the presence of God. Because in the presence of God, this is a realm that is outside of time. Just think about it. When you have dreams, you may go to bed, you woke up an hour later, but the dream you had felt like you lived in that moment for 2 years. You're telling someone a story, and then you can even see how time passes in the dream. Yet maybe that dream only lasted 4 minutes. But when you're telling the story of the dream, it's almost as though what took place was for 6 months. Then imagine when you're in the presence of God. When Moses was in the presence of God for 40 days and 40 nights, it must have felt like 40 years. I remember, oh my, this was something that blew my mind away about how time operates with God. I remember when the Lord had told me to wake up to pray at a certain hour. And at this point, He told me to wake up to pray at 3:20 in the morning. And there was so much going on. One particular day, I was so exhausted. I woke up, it was like 3:15. And I was like, Lord, are you telling me I only have 5 minutes before prayer? And I was, so, you know when there are times where you just feel like, God, please, I just need to sleep. I think I slept 20 minutes ago. And this time was a bit different because I said, Lord, there was some, I don't even know, and it obviously was the Holy Spirit, but in that moment I said, Lord, you are outside time. If you can just share some of that with me so I could have a good sleep before this prayer. And the craziest thing happened. It was 3:15. I go back to bed because I felt this peace. I was going to wake up at 3:20 regardless. But I was just like, God, please, let me just please, please, please. I go back to bed. When I woke up, I felt so rejuvenated and refreshed that once I realized how rejuvenated I felt, I panicked. I said, oh my gosh, I overslept. I look at the time, it was 3:16. True story. 1 minute passed. I said, wait, this is not possible. I said, no, I'm going back to bed again. You know, I have 4 more minutes. Let me catch up a bit more. I went back to bed. I took my time. At least that's how it felt. I woke up. It was still 3:16. I went back to bed 3 times. And the third time, it was still 3:16. And I said, no, Lord, I'm up. Let me not test this too long. Because I felt so rejuvenated. I felt like I had slept for 8 or even more hours. And in the presence of God, I said, God, what happened? I said, people will not believe this, that the time stayed 3:16. So then I actually even started to research. Did anything happen in the solar, system? I was like, well, God, did you, stop the sun? And nothing happened there. And then what the Holy Spirit revealed to me, it was not about anything in your natural changing. I just brought you into a place of spiritual possibilities. Because when your body experiences the presence of God, even though what was a minute in the natural, in the spirit realm, your body received sleep for hours on. That moment blew me away. So imagine Moses in the mountain, 40 days and 40 nights. What were they discussing for that long? Intimacy. This is where intimacy shows up. When you think about it, if there is someone that you have a need of, there is something you want them to do for you, the conversation doesn't take long. You might start with some pleasantries, how are you doing? It's a blessing to see you. No, it's not really a blessing. You just need something from them. Right? You tell them, wow, you are looking younger and younger every day. Then you say what you need. The moment they solve it, you go your way. But then when you meet a friend, when you're talking to your best friend, when you're talking to your spouse, when you're talking to your parents, that conversation can go on for hours and hours and hours. Why? Intimacy. You care about what's happening in their end. They talk to you about what's happening on your end. You start to think together. You start to collaborate on ideas. Intimacy. That is what Jesus wants with you. But you cannot have intimacy if you're only led by your personal request. And it's in the place of intimacy that you truly become sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's in that place of intimacy because the voice of the Holy Spirit is not only speaking to you about your life. He starts to speak to you about the things happening even in nations you have never been to. And he says, pray for Japan. Even though you've never been to Japan. Why? Because God can trust you with his burdens. This is intimacy. Because here is the thing. Kairos moments, the things that God wants to do in and through your life, is not just to make you happy. It's for his kingdom to be established. So there is a type of person you must become to even have the sensitivity to be in tune with his voice. But if Satan can keep you blind with selfish ambition and selfish motives, then you would be in an opportune time and not know it. You would be in the place of your favor and not know it. You would be standing next to someone the Lord has connected to your life and not know it. You just keep going by your day. You see, before I became a minister, I was in real estate, flipping properties. We were making amazing money. But it was a... And I could sense it. I knew there was something God was calling me to do. If I wanted to stay in the place of personal pursuit and ambition, I would have kept the path of just doing what I was doing to keep advancing in wealth. But there was something that I could sense that God is saying, hey, you need to make there's a change you need to make, and you must make it now. And I responded to that prompting. I went into fast and I went into prayer. And I said, God, what is it? Because there is something shifting. And I could discern, if I don't make the right move, then your hand may lift off my life. I never thought of anything about ministry. I always loved the Lord. I thought at best I would just share the word of God with people through a devotional. But never thought about pastoring. Never thought about traveling to minister. None of that. I had other plans of my life. But when I went into fasting and prayer, it was a moment where now the voice of the Lord responded to my hunger, not for more success. I was already in that path. But it was my hunger for Him. God, what do you need me to do? What is it that you have called of me in this season that I'm not walking into? And then the Lord began to speak. And then can you imagine being in a place where you're established and you're only growing? And then that's what the Lord says, walk away from. The season for this has moved. And if you stay in it, you will never realize what I've called you to do. Walk away from it. The instructions the Lord gave me that followed up was mind-blowing. Because it put me in a place that no one would choose to step into. But I knew that this was a Kairos moment. And even though the path I was taking would seem like lack, in God I knew it was wealth. To walk away from everything, move to a place that I don't know, and then literally ordered my steps, one thing by the next, led me to the church. I said, what do I do in this church? I don't even know anyone in this church. He says, I want you to serve. I served in the church as an usher. He says, for 1 year, don't do anything else but serve in this house. I was like, okay, God, after Sundays and midweek service, there are a lot of days. 5 days left in the week, I could be doing some properties. He said, no. During those 5 days, I want you to be in prayer. I said, well, that's a lot of prayer. If I asked people to pray with me, I would save more time. The Lord said, no, this is your assignment for this year. But you see, the sensitivity to hear that is when your heart is aligned. God, what do you want? What do you desire? If I was blinded by my pursuit of wealth, I would not even be standing in front of you today. Because I would have never stepped into the calling. I would still be chasing after the things of the world. And you see, in God, it's not that He's taking something away from you. He's often testing your heart. He's wondering, would you really let this go? Because many times He will bring it back to you. But He will test you for a season. In this season of your life, will you abandon what you've held on to define you and follow a path that is unknown to you because you trust me? because you desire what I desire, because you're after what I'm after. And when you walk with God, you can never lack in your life. But the enemy wants to trap you in a place of your comfort. That is why the second thing, when it comes to why Satan keeps people blind, is to keep you in routines. You see, the average blind person likes what is familiar to them. Because in an environment that is familiar, they don't need help. They don't need assistance. They know where everything is. They know how to navigate their home, even without a walking stick. Because they have learned their environment. And what the enemy does is for you to stay in the place of your comfort. Because you have learned your environment. You know how to navigate it. You know how to make it work for you. And so when the Lord is telling you to step out of it and walk into the unknown, you feel crippled. You're like, but God, where do I start? You start with Him. And He is enough. But if you're blind, you stay in place of routine. You do what you've always done. You say what you've always said. You don't ruffle any feathers. You don't do things differently. You stay in your comfort zone. That when God is calling you out, you begin to give Him all the excuses why you can't do it. When the person calling you is God. When the person who wants to shift your seasons is the Lord. You see, as I was even praying, the Lord was showing me parents in this place. And to encourage parents, don't try to force your comfort zones on your children. Don't try to force what worked for you on your children. You need sight to raise children. Because they didn't start with you. They started with God. You cannot raise them according to what is comfortable for you. Because if you do that, you raise that child in darkness and not in light. Your job is to lead that child in the ways of the Lord. Because no one is too young or too old to have spiritual sight. You begin to raise that child. Don't just allow other people to raise your children and you don't have a hand in the matter. Don't just give your children to your staff. Be active and involved in their lives. You don't know what spirits are in their school systems. You don't know the spirits behind their lesson teachers. Have an active role in teaching them about the ways of God. Because as kids, they are most sensitive to the voice of God. It's so interesting because when we look at little kids, we think, you know what, just take a coloring book. I encountered God when I was 9 years old. And there were things that He would share with me that even when I think back on it, I'm like, how did a 9-year-old understand what He was saying? His spirit. There is no small Holy Spirit. There is no child Holy Spirit. There is no junior Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus is the same Holy Spirit that would be in that child. So have an active role in teaching your kids the things of the Lord. I started seeing angels at 9 years old. I started having encounters at 9 years old. There were things I was even scared to tell my mom because I was like, wow, this could be a little, you know, crazy. But then the Lord will show me, you know, things that I could share in a time so people don't freak out. But raise your kids in the things of God. Don't force your routines on them because you may have lived a life of blindness. And you cannot be the blind trying to lead a new generation of blind people. Ask the Lord to give you sight. Give me sight for my life. Give me sight for these children because they belong to you. There is a reason why God placed them in your home. There is a reason why God entrusted them to your care. You don't own them. You're only a steward over their destiny. And so you need sight. And the third thing, why the enemy keeps people blind? To hinder kingdom work. You see, oftentimes when we look at so much chaos in the world, people will say, where is God? But the reality is, it's the people that were blind who were supposed to answer, who were the solutions to those problems in the all along. There are people that the enemy has kept blind that were God's strategy to answer the chaos you're seeing today. Sometimes that's why you need to pray, God, cause your people who are in slumber to wake up. Cause them to begin to arise. When God shares his burdens with you, you will begin to see how a generation is asleep. How a generation is blind to the things of the world. Because if our generation was awake, you will not see all the issues you see today. Because there is a kingdom principle that before a problem has the right to show up, the solution is already present. We see it with Jesus. That even before the fall of humanity, the solution was already known. So we're not supposed to stare and complain at the problem. What we need to do is find out where is the solution. And who is it? And sometimes it might be you. You see, God has this insurance policy he puts in man. That sometimes the very thing you can't shake off yourself, just because you don't see it, it works in you as negativity. So all you do is complain, you gossip, you bicker, and X, Y, and Z, not realizing the day you have sight, why it bothered you so much is because you are part of God's solution strategy. And you just needed to see it properly to know what you are supposed to do all along. Where there is blindness, it causes things to be delayed concerning what the prayer that Jesus gave when he taught his disciples, the model prayer on earth as it is in heaven. That prayer is very weighty. It's not just a random prayer of on earth as it is in heaven and boom, God does something. It involves people. There are people that God has empowered, God has favored, God has ordained to solve problems that a nation on earth would look as though what God wrote in heaven. And when it doesn't have the shape or the form of what God knows about it, people are asleep. People are blind. Satan wants to keep a generation blind. But this is where faith comes in. Because if you're a person that can see, or if you're a person that recognizes that maybe I'm blind and I desire to see, then with sight you would begin to cause other people's eyes to open up as you declare truth in your prayer life, in how you engage with people. When you step into the thing that God has called you to do, it's almost like it has this power to affect people in ways that the blind around you begins to see. A person of sight dwells with people of sight. Because something about their life begins to radiate in a way that others begin to question, wait, am I in the thing of God? Am I in the place God positioned me? Am I doing the thing God has assigned to me? See, I want to encourage you. You're going to continue to hear messages. And even as you receive these messages about what your life would look like as you ride on the wings of faith, when you soar, you need to see. Because if not, that height will do you no good. When you soar, you need to see what is taking place and where the Lord will position you. So how do we break this? Because one of the things that the enemy uses to keep people in blindness is the strongholds of the mind. When people feel as though it would always be like this. God doesn't really love me. God will do it for others, but not me. Anything that is giving you a narrative to make you feel as though that's for them but not me. That makes you feel as though God is merciful to them, God is loving to them, God is faithful to them but not me. When you look at your past as a way to validate, God is not for me, this is a demonic attack on your mind. Because the mind is the real battlefield. Look at what the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 to 5. And what is interesting, even when I was praying for you, the Lord was showing me their people. And you, it's so crazy, this mental battlefield, because you really do love the Lord. You serve in the Lord's house. But when no one sees you, you're crying. Because something, there is a mental stronghold, there is a lie that Satan has planted, and because you have meditated on that lie for years, it has taken roots. And so even though you love God, there is something in your life that keeps telling you, this could never happen for me. This could never be me. So while everyone sees you as this cheerful person, as this person who is always willing to do anything, deep down in your heart, you question if God is good to you. You question if God even sees you. When you pray for other people and things happen in their lives but not your life, you come to this conclusion that God would never show up for me like that. Let me just settle where I am, and you don't know it's a demonic attack. It's a demonic attack that you will never see beyond where you are. It's a demonic attack that you will never receive beyond what God has, truly has for you. But you are judging it before it's time. Look at what the Word of God says. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." And what are these strongholds? You would think it's something that is so creative and something that requires all this work. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Then it even simplifies it even further. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What happens here is one of the greatest battlefields. If the enemy can win you in the mind, he controls you. If he can plant a seed of doubt, then he can control what you see. And how do we break free of this? The scripture tells us in Romans 12:2. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed," how? "By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You cannot know the good, acceptable, or perfect will of God if your mind is not renewed. The mind. And how does the mind get renewed? In the presence of God. In His Word. You see, when you spend, there is something that happens when you spend time in prayer for intimacy. Because there is a way, you know, the Bible talks about how Moses was the meekest man on the earth. You wonder, Moses, there is a love that Moses had for the Israelites that just didn't seem natural. I mean, the people, he would literally, the Lord is like, "You know what, Moses, get out of my way. Let me be done with this people." Moses would intercede for them. The very people that caused him to not enter the promised land. But what happened to Moses that made him so meek? The presence of God. There was something Moses saw. There was something he received. In the place of intimacy with God, it transformed him from the inside out. That's when Moses comes down from the mountain, he's radiating. But that what they saw outside of him, more happened within him. In the presence of God. You see, one of the ways that the enemy tries to keep you, even when you're someone who is steadfast in prayer and fasting, but he keeps you there with the same prayer request. I remember growing up, and we would, you know, go to churches, and people every single day are praying against witches. I'm like, witches are still going to keep showing up. At some point, the prayer has to change. And understand what I'm saying. There is a time for everything. There are times where the Lord will show you things that have caused legalities in your bloodline. And you need to go into spiritual warfare for them. Because they have a legal right to access you. But if all your prayer request is from a place of fear, you have not started to journey with God. If what is driving you into his presence is fear. When we first got to Nigeria in December, we went to the east. Many people were complaining about eastern Nigeria. They said it's not safe. This and this. All the issues that could happen. And in my heart I said, this is not going to be the thing that will cost me 7 days of fasting and prayer. If I'm fasting and praying, God, let it be that there's something you led me into, or because I want to journey deeper into you, or there is an unction in my heart to know what does this time and season mean. And this is why I said this. Because when I wake up in California, I'm not fasting and praying for God to protect me. So what would drive me to go into fasting and prayer in the east is not the spirit of God, it's the spirit of fear. And I said, God, if you cannot protect me in the east, you cannot protect me in America. You cannot protect me when I'm sleeping. You cannot protect me when I'm walking. You cannot protect me when I'm driving. You cannot protect me when I'm standing. I cannot shift my perspective because everyone is scared of the natural conditions. Either you are God or you are God. So I'm not going to allow fear to drive me into prayer. Unless there is something the Spirit of God reveals. Why I'm sharing this with you is because a tactic of Satan is to use fear to keep you on a cycle. Many will journey in prayer for hours never to know Jesus. What is driving them is fear. And you don't realize it is a bondage of Satan. And because he knows how to pull your strings, the moment you want to start to journey into intimacy, he gives you a dream. You just finished fasting for 30 days. The whole of the fast was for all your enemies to die. After 30 days, on day 36, Satan gives you another dream to bring you back. Hey, every enemy, die, die, die. As your enemies are dying, there's no intimacy with God. There is a place in God. Now, I've dealt with witchcraft on various levels. God will give you instruction. God will give you direction. But what I have learned about Satan, he has a technique that at opportune moments, when you're supposed to journey into the heart of God, he will cause something to give you fear. There was a time that, as I'm about to minister, demons would manifest physically in my hotel room. And there was a day that this demon manifested, and my daughter is with me on the bed. I looked at it. I looked at my daughter. I said, I just called on Jesus. Something grabbed this demon. I said, Satan, you will not distract my message. Because that was a distraction. That was so that I would focus my time to pray against demonic presence rather than praying concerning the word of God for his people. To know, God, what is on your mind for your people? What the enemy wanted was to cause fear in my spirit. That I would spend my time praying against this rather than journeying into the place of intimacy with God. What I'm saying to you, be led by the Spirit. Identify when your fear is leading you into something and don't feed it. The Word of God says, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, of a sound mind, of power. There are times that even the Lord would allow Satan to cause things to manifest in front of you to see where you are in Him. So you know it for yourself. Not because He wasn't there. But then there is a boldness that will come in you and say, okay, if this can show up, Lord, deal with it, because I'm going back to sleep. Don't allow the enemy to keep you on a wheel, chasing your tail. Have you seen how dogs can chase their tail? And you'll be looking at the dog like, what are you doing now? Get to the place where you want to know God. Where you want to journey in intimacy with Him. There are things He would reveal to you. There are strategies He will give you for warfare. But that is not the totality of your prayer life. There is a place where you journey to His heart. You become sensitive to His ways. You are filled with the joy of the Lord. Because even in a time of chaos, you have sight. When everybody is crying and mourning, you have sight. There is something God is showing you that the average man cannot see. That while everyone wants to pray about the calamities and the issues, you say, no. This is the time to prepare. This is the time to pray for strategy and not to mourn. Sight. Stand with me. We're going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. They're the angels of God in this place. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to have an expectancy over your life right now. If you know that even as this message was going on, that you could sense the Holy Spirit began to put an unction in you, that there are areas of your life that you are walking in blindness. Because you see, sight is not something that you obtain by the intelligence of man. It is not something you obtain because of the counsel around you. It is that which can only come from the Spirit of the living God. When your desire and your heart is after Him. I just want you to place your hands on your eyes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And begin to pray to your Father. Begin to pray to your Lord and say, God, every place in my life that I'm operating in blindness, give me sight. Give me sight. Libro sheki na makoyi na masoto yika. Libro sake na makoyi na masote. Give me sight. Give me sight. Oh, thank you, Jesus. E na makoyi la ble sheki na masoka yinama. Any children in the room, begin to lay hands on your eyes. You are never too young. You are never too old. Thank you, Lord. Ibra nami na makona masoke. Kira bra sheke na masote. No music. No music. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, hear the sound of your people. Hear the words of your people. Hear the cries of your people. And as you have assigned your angels to this room, begin to open their eyes, oh God. Begin to open their eyes, oh God. There are people, and now is the opportune time. They are standing in a season that they need to make a move. Ebra shekina masoko. They need to make a move. They need to make a move. And they have been wrestling with the familiar. They have been wrestling with what is comfortable. There is a lady from Zimbabwe. Thank you, Jesus. Ira brashina makena maso ke libra sote libro na makina maso ibra sheke na maka libro shi amaka te nani kayuna mase. There's a lady from Zimbabwe. The angel of the Lord, I see him hovering over Zimbabwe, and he's showing me a lady. The Spirit of God is going to fall upon you now. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You have been praying. You have been seeking the Lord. That Lord, show me that which is for me. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord wants to, you to know that he is going to strengthen you. There is a fresh oil that will come upon you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Have your way, God. Have your way, God. Have your way, God. Lord, for every assignment which you sent your angels into this room, release them to do your work. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Begin to touch your people. Every lie that has been, have a stronghold in their mind, Lord, touch their minds in the name of Jesus, that they would identify the lies of the enemy and live in a place of freedom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know how things are structured, but I'm seeing even there are people outside. And I see where the angels of the Lord are assigned to you as well. And there is no distance in the realm of the Spirit. So even if you are not present in the building, that which the Lord has purposed to do, he is doing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray that there is going to be a stirring in the hearts of your sons and daughters. That, Lord, they will come to the place of knowing truth, O Lord. That they will no longer tolerate the things of how the enemy wants to ensnare them. But Lord, their hunger would be after you. They will begin to starve the things of the flesh, O God. And Lord, as you give them sight and as they soar to new heights, O Heavenly Father, that they would see that which you are doing. They will participate in that which you are doing. Lord, I pray that they will not miss seasons of their life. And even those that have missed seasons, Lord, you are a restorer of time. Restore unto them in the name of Jesus. Restore unto them in the name of Jesus. Just lift up your hands right now. I see where the Lord is making deposits in your life. Just lift up your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Restore unto them. There were things that they missed because in the moment they were blind to it. In the moment they allowed the enemy to deceive them from a moment of breakthrough. In the moment they allowed anger to ride the wave of their breakthrough. Lord, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. There is a gentleman from Kenya. Thank you, Lord. And you have been having dreams. It's like dreams where you are losing your shoe. You will have this dream, you can't find your shoe. And it had bothered you because there was something you had that you had lost. And a place of authority, a place you were supposed to step into that you have lost. And the Lord is showing me that he is restoring unto you. He is restoring your time. He is going to bring back a season that will be pregnant with that possibility again. And I want to encourage everyone, whenever the Lord begins to reveal things about people, he's already speaking to your situation. But sometimes there is a quickening a person needs that will cause him to highlight one person, not because he's ignoring other people. And even us, the ministers, we see in part. So what God shows us is not the totality of what he's doing. It's just what we are able to see in the moment. But God is already moving. There are angels he already commissioned to your homes. There are things happening in this place. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we give you praise. Even for we are in Nigeria, and your sons and daughters of this land will begin to rise up, oh God, to bring solutions to the issues they see concerning this land. Heavenly Father, have your way. Thank you for being a good God. Thank you for being faithful. We give you all the glory. And Lord, we thank you that as a result of this convention, lives will never be the same. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.